Welcome to the Mile 99 interview series with your hosts, Greg Larkin, Mike Turner, and Jessica Harris. Enjoy this episode, and we'll hope to see you on the trail soon.
Hey everybody, this is Mike Turner, one of your co-hosts of the Mile 99 interview. Tonight we are going to listen to our live in-person session we did at the Auburn Aid Station last night, June 23rd, States Week. We had to chop off the front 10 minutes of this program because we had some technical challenges. So we're jumping in. Now we're sitting down with Kelly Barber. Greg Larkin is there, Jessica Harris, all your favorite people. And we're talking to Kelly about his entry into States and how he's been kind of training for it during COVID. So enjoy the show.
It was interesting. We came up last night for the run, and I think that was the first group run I've done probably since lockdown started. So that was interesting. It's been interesting. I think in terms of, not having raced for a while. Last year, I tried to kind of put a unsupported effort in place and really realized how much I like having people around on the course. So yeah, super excited to go back this weekend.
How has training through last year been emotionally?
It's been tough. It's hard to gauge. I mean, Katie Gifford and I have been training together the whole season, which has been awesome. As well as Scott Sambucci, where all the three of us are all running this weekend. So at least we, have had each other to work off of and kind of keep each other going, which has been terrific. Definitely when you having at least one or two people to keep you honest on a Saturday when you need to get a long run in has been great.
Well, I would think too.
And other than that, just kind of trying to. Oh, go ahead.
With the lack of racing last year, to be accountable and having that little community, I probably saved you. Saved your training, saved your mental, kept you in the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely. Even having this race, even if it was out 18 months, I mean, the whole reason I started racing was because if I didn't have a race out there, I wouldn't get out and run. So. It was at least enough to keep me running and having known the course and run it before, know that I've got to put the hours in so I can make it to the bottom.
No doubt. We're just getting a little bit of commentary here on the echo effect. Just wanted to check on this real quick. Anybody, any improvement on that? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was sounding better.
Is it sounding better now? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah. working on some things on this end. How's your feeling about, the fact that, okay, we had a pretty big heat weekend or a week of heat or a few weeks, and then now it's broken a little bit, but now it looks like it's coming back with a vengeance.
It's back. I think we just have to assume it's going to suck. I appreciate Craig putting it out there that we have 5 pounds of ice per aid station. So I'm going to take full advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I think, at least for the years that I've run it, for the most part, I've always had snow on top. So, I think this is the least amount of water I've ever run, with available throughout the course, either to jump in or splash around with or what have you. So yeah, it's certainly going to be trying to stay cool to get to the bottom.
Are you generally able to acclimate pretty well to that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I live in the valley. I've always lived in the valley, so I don't have a problem with the heat. I've been getting out for a nice afternoon walk in the 100 degree heat to just get a good feeling for it. But
yeah, has that been pretty much your taper then? Is just kind of doing some walks and have you done any running at all? And kind of how are things feeling?
Yeah, we went out 2 weeks ago. For our last long run, did a night run from Green Gate because my daughter's pacing me, so she was down. So she ran and back in from Green Gate to Pointed Rocks with me, so she knows the course and what she's got to get me through. So that was kind of our last long run, and then from there we've just kind of been ratcheting down to just some road stuff. And Katie and I got out and did did just the last stretch down from actually from Pointed Rocks back up to the finish last weekend, just to get a few more 1,000 feet of elevation gain. But yeah, keeping it casual.
Yeah. What's it feel like to do a training run on that last portion of the course? You know, are you visualizing yourself, you know, at the race, that kind of thing? Does it have like any special impact, or is it just kind of like, hey, this is another training run I'm going to do?
It has impact. I think it's just sort of being leery of, you know, I've spent probably more time on the Western States Trail coming up to training. Usually I'm kind of spacing it out or spending more time in the Bay Area or, you know, and trying to mix up where I'm running, but I've kept it kind of to local areas. So, now I think it's just a matter of kind of staying a little bit away from Placer High. We've never stepped foot in, on the track, and we'll not step foot on the track until Sunday.
Interesting. All right. So yeah. A little bit of traditional kind of respect there maybe, or something like that.
Oh yes. Yeah. There's only one time to do that.
That's interesting. I feel like that, you know, you might do, you know,
well, maybe how yeah. do you, as far as the lack of snow, speed's going to be a problem, right? Speed out of the gate. How do you force yourself to slow down? People are going to want to just go.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a matter of hopefully having a couple of races under my belt and knowing not to push it too hard and knowing what my splits are on the upper end of the course. And if I can keep to it, I mean, it's interesting, at least for me, the hardest part of the course for me is coming into Robinson and the climb up from Duncan. And just usually if I really feeling like crap, it's right there. And then I start to feel better. So my goal is always to see how much I can manage that first part of the course to not feel horrible. So that usually keeps me, keeps the speed under control.
Mm. That climb from Duncan, you and I did a training run out there a couple of years ago. I remember that being pretty rough. And I think I did the Robinson Flat 35K as one of my earlier races in the
Australia. Oh, yeah.
And wow. I mean, you don't realize that climb is tough, but it doesn't get talked about quite as much as maybe like Devil's Thumb, things like that, you know?
No. For those of us that are slower, that's the one that's right when the heat of the day is right on top of us.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Great stuff. Kelly, if you don't mind staying on for a little, we may come back to you as well. We got some additional stuff I think to chat about here. Thanks for your input on all that. And obviously we're going to be watching for you as you come into the aid stations on the course.
Cool. Looking forward to seeing everyone.
Absolutely. Let's mute here for a second.
Well, I think a huge part of Western States is the community. I mean, we're here because our community meets here, and a big part of the community is Pacers. And Sean Flanagan ran in 2018, and he submitted his Pacers story, Alexander. And so I'm just gonna read that from his Instagram from 2 years ago, because I think it just paints a really good picture of what the Pacers go through. Because even though it's one single runner crossing the finish line, it takes a team. So what he said is, "I'm not exactly sure what transpired around mile 85 that consumed this man, Sean, and trapped him in a very dark place. Could it be the training, the planning, the multiple ankle rolls, or the knee that could no longer hold him steady? He was clearly in pain. Maybe it was the emotions from the recent loss of his dear friend and DPMR family member, Julia, that he carried with him, or the loss of his inspirational brother, one of the three people he dedicated the race to. Perhaps it was the overwhelming emotion of the day from his loving family and ultra family. Maybe it was at Western States itself. 85 miles, 23 hours of running, and the awareness of the enormous pain that he was going to need to endure to finish this thing. As a pacer, it's hard to continue to push a man to keep moving forward when they are in such turmoil and pain. He was wobbly, stating he felt unsafe, in excruciating pain, and stated he may pass out. All I could say is, let's go, keep moving forward. But I was worried that something dangerous could happen. It's a fine line. I also knew that there was no quitting in this man, and stopping was not an option. After scarily succumbing to the darkness and laying down at mile 90.7, I was worried. Falling asleep and your body can seize up. Sleepers don't get buckles. However, 3 minutes later, I witnessed a man rise with the fierceness in his eyes and a scowl on his face, let's go, he said. And we did, one painful step at a time. There were no more smiles or jokes remaining, just pure heart and grit to move forward. What I witnessed was a man beaten and broken physically, emotionally, and mentally, stripped to his core. I witnessed a man who refused to give in despite his darkness. No quit. One step at a time, all the way to the finish line. As a pacer, you feel for your runner and you literally walk in their footsteps, even slip in their world to search for a way out. We found our way out. This man is Sean Flanagan, and I'm proud to call him a friend. Well done, brother, and much love. Yeah, I thought that was such a good story. And we hear stories like that all the time. So we do have Brian here, who's going to come and talk a little bit about his experience, probably a good story from Western States. Hey, Brian. Thanks for coming.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
So congratulations on your wedding. I think that's amazing.
Stop it. Stop it. We do not need that rumor going around.
Not true. So basically... I got to meet someone who was involved with Western States quite a while ago, and his name's Tony Nguyen, otherwise known as the Endorphin Dude. And so we were just, I knew him for a while. He had like this really vivid personality, and it was. And the thing I liked was it was always about bringing the community together and lifting people up. And so I liked him, and so he basically invited me to come out and volunteer at the river. So I'd never done anything with States at all before. In fact, I think I just started running trails at that point. But I came down, I had a wetsuit. I spent the night in the river.
A wetsuit?
All night, yeah, because we were in the river.
I didn't realize that volunteers have to be in wetsuits.
I mean, if you're in the river, it gets cold.
That's awesome.
And so I got to do that, and I was hooked. Mm-hmm. So he's volunteered in the river for years. And so he got his ticket by being a volunteer. So I don't know if people don't know the story. Tony was heavier and diabetic. He was insulin dependent, and he decided to start running and lost weight. He's no longer insulin dependent, and he gets to run his dream race.
He's running 100 miles a lot
this weekend.
Yeah, that's
and so he asked me to be on his team and help pace him from Michigan Bluff to Forest Hill, and it's one of the biggest honors that I've had. Is to be a part of someone's race that means that much to them.
A total full circle moment for you, right? I mean, and then he'll pace you when you get in, right?
You know, if it happens, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And so,
yeah, okay. Tony's one of those guys who's just so positive and energetic. I saw him at, we were last October, he was at Javelina, and where I saw him, he wore a cape the whole time. He had a cape on, and he has so many, he's if you don't know him, he has so many hundreds under his belt. I mean, he has a lot more than you would ever think. It's pretty, one time I saw his post, he had like all kinds of buckles. Pretty amazing guy.
And they're not just local races, they're all over.
Yeah.
So actually Tony was there for the first 40 plus miles of my first 100 with me as well.
Wow.
Nice. We decided to stick together, and so yeah, just to have that connection with someone. And then it's just, for me, it's about, this is the dream race for a lot of runners. My friend Tim Felker's running, this really is his dream race.
Oh yeah. He's talked about that for years. It was always his dream. He's always clear about that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So just to be able to see people work towards that dream for so long. So really my advice to anyone is you put in the work. Just enjoy it from here on out. This is your race. So.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Well, thank you
so much.
Well, that's kind of like an interesting thing that I was going to ask the two of you, and sort of kind of popped in my head while Brian was talking, was sort of, where did you hear about Western States, and like, when did it sort of become part of your consciousness? Mike?
I think for me, I first heard about it probably like 10 years ago. I was at Bel Air in Auburn,
Yeah, it's weird, right?
What?
And it was this guy wearing this, a checker wearing this sweater that said it was a black fleece and it said Western States. And I was like, I had no idea what that even was. And I asked him about it and he was, I was long before I was ever a runner. And I was like 100 miles. I could not get past that number. It was so bizarre. And that's the first time I heard about it, like about 10 years ago.
Really? And so it was he kind of like a crew member, do you think? Or do you know?
Yeah, I don't know much about, I don't know his story. I left with my groceries and.
That was just that kind of chance meeting, right?
Short story, but that was it.
No, but hey, I mean, that's how these things happen sometimes. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, just you see people around and they might ask you, like, what's this all about? You tell them and you change their life and he changed yours.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
I started trail running in 2015 and I think you run any trail race and then you realize that there's bigger things out there. And at first 50K was the big thing for me. And then I was like, oh no, I think 50 milers are my sweet spot. And they're like, yeah, but if you run some 100Ks, you qualify for this race. And I've lived here my whole life. I mean, college, I would be up here doing cardiac repeats and, so I'm familiar with the area. I knew more about Tevis, which was interesting, than I did about Western States. And then since then, now I've been a volunteer and known a lot of great people to run and finish the race, come through aid station. Volunteering is the best thing. If anyone watching who hasn't volunteered, who's just a spectator, try to get into an aid station. They're always looking on their, what is it, volunteer, I love volunteering or something on their web, on Western States website. Go there early. You'll get sorted. The best thing that's ever happened to me. And because you meet those people, you're with people volunteering for 8 to 12 hours or even longer. And they are your family that you see once a year. It's the best experience.
Yeah, no doubt. So over to me. So I moved to California like 7 years ago, I guess. And prior to that, I had been doing, you know, vacations and things like that to the area. And was sort of thinking like, oh, you know, where do I want to live when I move out here? And I had started trail running a little bit in New Hampshire, up in the mountains and whatever. Didn't really realize what racing was or any of that. And so I came out here, happened to come out here right on the weekend that Western States was finishing and had heard about Auburn as sort of like the endurance capital of the world. I was a bike racer, a trail runner, a hiker, all these things. And I thought, all right, I want to check this place out.
Yeah.
And it was Western States weekend. So
what?
Got over to Placer because there's all this hubbub going on. You can hear the announcer going all night and all that stuff. And it was, I think, 2014, like right before I moved out, and Rob Krar, pretty well-known guy at that time. I think
he won, and still.
I mean, I haven't seen him racing much, but yeah, he's definitely well-known in the in trail. Yeah. He's won it a couple times and I think he came in second maybe, and then won it twice. And he was finishing, before dark, you know, the same day he started the race. And to me, this was amazing. How can anybody start this race up at Tahoe and finish before dark in Auburn? And he was doing it. And the electricity of the stadium, everybody's there on their feet. He comes in throughout the, you know, the course, coming around the corners there to the finish line. And the place goes wild. Everybody's high-fiving him. He's running around. He's just clapping and everybody's clapping for him. And it was a communal thing. I mean, these runners are not these big stars that you can't approach. He's so approachable. And I forget if that was that year, the next year, one of the years he won, he went back and paced in flip-flops, one of the runners that was just about to miss the golden hour cutoff, the 30 hour cutoff. And he was out there, I think at Roby Point, and ran in with that runner, whoever that was at the time. So, I mean, that shows you kind of the connection that all of the runners have, no matter how skilled, you know, how elite they are, down to the people who are coming in right before the cutoff. So it's really cool.
Well, and it's interesting that I just remembered Courtney DeWalter when she pulled out at Rucky 1 year. She was there the next morning for the golden hour, walking up and down, saying hi to everyone. Not unobtainable. I mean, happy. Mm-hmm. She didn't finish the race. She probably wasn't stoked about that.
Yeah.
And she was there because it's a sense of community. I think this, even if you're not jonesing to get into Western States, this week is about community And after this last year, we're so glad to be in person. And yeah. I'm so excited to see everyone this weekend. We might miss some. I've asked for shout outs for people. So some of our local runners that we know in the area who are running, obviously Kelly Barber is running, Dan Foley, David Lent, Tony Wynn, Laura Matz, Cooney, Anthony Molina, Christine Vincent, Dan Barger, Katie Gifford, Karen Bonet, John Trent, EJ, Scott Bosberg, Joey Montoya, Tex Ritter, and anyone else you guys want, because I'm pretty sure I've missed people. But that's a pretty good list for our local runners this year, so I feel really happy about that. Oh, and he's running. Who are you? Cool. You're coming. Come over here. Get over here.
Come on.
We have a runner. Yay.
All right.
Okay, I don't know everyone. So, hi, I'm Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you?
Good. I'm John, or Johanan Wilson, number 367.
Nice. Cool. Nice. Good to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to meet you, Mike.
Yeah. How's this last year been for you? Training. My gosh.
Ups and downs. We all thought we were going to run, and we all got up, trained, and got all spun up, and then all of a sudden, nope, you're not running. Wow. But it was good because we got a chance to heal and to kind of catch our breath and pretend that another December 7th lottery happened, and then
automatically got in.
Yeah, seriously. I got in again.
Yeah.
And then we, the people that I know, we've all just started training again in December.
How many years were you waiting to get in?
Zero. First time.
My goodness. So we got a Kelly here with one ticket. You got the one ticket in the same year.
Right? Yeah.
Don't tell people that. So I think the lottery's easy to get into.
and I was going to say, and that's partly why I'm absolutely scared to death. Because I've had now another year of anticipation.
Yeah. Oh, so you've been, it's like angsty, like, oh, that's so good. I want to get it done with. I want to get it behind you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm savoring it. I mean, I'm loving this moment. I watch the YouTubes of all the different, especially the locals when we watch them, and you see all the different videos that people make. And like yesterday, I was just watching a video on Timothy Olson. He's doing a PCT right now. He's passing through this weekend.
Wow. All right. It's the FKT attempt,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. For his FKT. And I'm just like, I can't watch any of these videos without getting choked up.
Yeah.
It's super uber emotional, and so even when you're reading that right now, I'm sitting back here watching you, and I'm just like, because we all have a story, we really do. Everybody in this race,
it's a lot of those YouTube videos and a lot of great stories, but yeah, you're right, everyone has a story, and it may not be told anywhere, but your story, how you got to where you started, that's valuable, and you're here, this weekend.
Amazing. We're all tapering off. I was just sitting here telling Angie over there that it's driving me crazy. I can't run this week. I did a 3-mile run yesterday, and I'm like, really? That's it? That's all I get to do? And now I just got to hydrate, and I get to eat junk food all week and carb load. But I'm like, at the same time, you have this anticipation building, and everyone around you is supporting you, and they're bringing you into this place where everyone's going to meet at Squaw Valley and Olympic Village and Saturday morning.
But to keep your, for me, I have to have a sense of, take a deep breath and just, calm down and chill and focus, or do you like just like the energy, or do you like, you need some time to just pull it down?
No, it's just like, I believe, like Kelly was saying earlier, it's not just right at the starting line where you have to say, calm your heart, calm your mind, there's 100 miles ahead of you. It's leading up to it a week. It's leading up to it a year. Mm-hmm. It's like, slow down. I mean, I had to be super scientific and say, I'm scared to death, because now it's 2 years of potential injuries, potential issues, and things that come up. So
totally.
I wanted to say, okay, it's 10% every week. I'm not going to go above that. I refuse, and I'm not going to injure myself. I'm not going to break myself. And that same attitude is going to be all the way up to the moment of, Friday night in the hotel rooms, trying to get some sleep, which is going to be difficult. And waking up on Saturday and saying, okay, let's take a deep breath. Let's control our heart and our soul and our mind. And let's do that for another, in my case, 28 hours. Right? I'm going to see the sun come up again and again.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Cause we all have a different journey. We all have a different path. And, but we all have to control that.
That's awesome. Yes. And I'll see you this Aquinas.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll see you before then at Robinson.
Absolutely.
I think I'll be masked up, but I'll be like, hey, remember me?
Absolutely.
And I was wondering, how did you, because I in my brain, I go, well, there was no races last year. So I feel like people are going to be not overtrained this year. There's going to be less injuries because, you know, February and March around here, there's a race every weekend, sometimes two. So I feel like runners are going to be in good shape.
I think so.
Not undertrained.
I do. I agree with you there, especially because, like I was saying, there's also that anticipation that another year of, oh my gosh, I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
What I'm afraid of this year, though, is heat injuries. And I'm afraid that, you know, because I was looking even in the Western States magazine that you just showed a little while ago, that's right here at the aid station. There's still more copies over there. It shows in the back of calendar all the years historically.
I looked at that.
Some of those years had a high of like 68 degrees. And I'm like,
it's not fair, huh?
I'm like, and I had decided months ago that it was only going to be mid 70s. Apparently my decision was not a help.
Yeah.
But it's okay. You know,
you get 5 pounds of ice.
Is that per person?
Per aid station? Per person?
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
1991, it was 66 degrees.
See, and you know, and I have a neighbor, and he even said our whole crew that year had PRs for all of us on our team that ran. And I'm just like, yeah, it's going to be like that this year.
Nope.
But you know, that's great though, that the directors and stuff, they're thinking about that, and they have the foresight to say, listen, we don't want, this isn't a test to see, can we knock everybody out and just do what we can grin and bear it. No.
I think Dusty Corners alone, I don't know for Robinson, I'm sure it's going to be the same, but in past years, I mean, 1,500 to 1,800 pounds of ice for food and runners.
That's amazing.
And, you know, some years we would take the stuff back up to Forest Hill, and that's kind of a good spot to dump extra ice, but you'll be taken care of. Just swim in it.
And speaking of swimming too, is every week I'm going to be taking a little bath, a 5 minute bath.
You can push hard and endure, but cooling your body is a biological feature. You have to cool your body. You don't just have to want to. It's not just a good idea. It's necessary.
It has
to calm your to cool your temperature down because your core it gets warm and you can't fake that. So you gotta just take your time in the water and cool down. And I mean, that's painful. I hate ice in my sleeves and my hat, but you got to do it.
Yeah. But when you think too, like if I keep my brain cool and I get in that creek that's already there, it's provided for me, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to get in it.
Yeah.
And if I keep my brain cool, it'll keep my stomach activated, right?
Yeah.
And then I can keep the fuel going. And, you know, that domino effect will be there.
I saw Megan Laws at Dusty Corners. She stuffs her pants with ice. Mm. And I asked her later, someone asked her later, like, that's uncomfortable. And she's like, yeah, but there's so many nerve endings there. Like you can drop your core temperature. So I don't know about guys, but girls, we're like shoving it everywhere we can.
I'm going to stick neck bandana.
And that's, you know, and I ran into
a desperate times, right?
Desperate. All right. Yeah.
I ran into an amazing runner at Swinging Bridge. And, you know, during the summer, I've done a number of runs down there. And she said the same thing. She says, take that rig that you got and just take all that stuff out and stick ice in it. And I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Whatever you got to, because it'll melt soon, anyways.
It will. And and I have a scarf right now. We made it home. A neighbor of mine made it. We've got a big scarf. And, you know, you keep one inside open and you shove it full of ice. And it actually lasted. It's 6-7 miles in the hottest days. So, hopefully. You know, everyone will stay cool. They'll stay healthy. They'll keep your stomach alive. They'll keep the fuel going.
Yeah.
And the pain's going to be there, right? I mean, that's what's going to, it's going to happen. But hopefully we can keep doing the things that we need to do to get the finish line.
Yeah.
And the thought, you know, I'll tell you, last weekend, my wife and I went to the high school and I parked my truck in front of the gate right there. And I just kind of walked out and I visualized what it's going to look like on race day, you know, at 9 o'clock on Sunday right?
Yeah, I mean that's when you want to come in. There's a lot of people there. These sub 24 people, they don't get the attention. 28 to 30 hours. There's a lot of people there. I mean,
but I'll bet it's very cool because you know you go out and you visualize that and you say every single time I lay in bed at night and all my worries are gone. My only thought is Western States, and I've run that route every night for months. And to finally go out to the school, you know, I'd been out there and watched, you know, Golden Hour and even the winners. It's different when you're like, okay, you know, these footsteps, you know, that F-bomb went out there and painted, they're real. And I'm going to stop and I'm going to kiss those things before I walk into that field. And then I'm going to run that lap.
And you can do some amazing push-ups out there too.
I mean, fine. Just... Hey, whatever it takes. Yeah. If that's what the run gods want me to do, then that's exactly what I will do. But, awesome. But you know what I mean? It's, to imagine that energy that you're talking about, the energy at the start line, the energy at the end, and the energy all the way through, is really going to, that personal journey that we're all on. That's the glue that holds all those little pieces of that journey together.
So one last question, who's crewing? What's that look like for you?
So my cousin, my cousin Mike Bolden is coming in from Austin, Texas. I pick him up tomorrow.
Nice.
And he's, so kind of full disclosure, I've only done 5 ultras in my whole life. I only started running a couple of years ago, and we ran the Flute, Apollo's Run. Mm-hmm. We ran Salmon Falls. I did Ironman. I did Broken Arrow, and all of a sudden, and I did Rio de Lago, and here I am. And he was there with me on almost every race, and we start together and we end together. He's going to have a chance to run with me. Also, my neighbor lives with me in Cool, Jonathan Seeley. He's going to, great. Jonathan's a great guy. He's a superior athlete. He's really bumped my game up.
Yeah.
I like to lead when I'm getting paced. He's like, nope, you're going to run behind me. You're going to follow me. And it's just made my times just go so much better. So John's going to run me from Forest Hill to Green Gate. And then my cousin Mike's going to run me from Green Gate to home.
Awesome.
And that's it. We're going to do it.
Yeah, you are. I'm so excited. I'm so glad you're here. What a great story.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is what the aid station does. It just brings people.
Community.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for,
I was just going to sit back and
like Johannen Wilson. It's John Wilson 367.
Yeah. All right. You know the number to plug into that app, right?
Might even be wearing this shirt right here.
The Hawaiian shirt. I'm such a fan. Barber knows. I love the button down.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's hear the button down, right?
Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Good call, man. I'll look for that shirt out there.
I wore long sleeves on the training camps, but I said, no, I need a little bit more skin showing. You know,
it's good to get those boosts in the aid stations from being well dressed.
Right.
I mean, Bart comes in Dusty Corners is kind of a downhill, and he came in with it all the way unbuttoned. And I was like, that's the one that will get you across the finish line. So I've never forgot that. It is amazing. Like, cool, calm. You can button it if you get a little chilly, unbutton it if you get a little hot.
Awesome. And then ran, right? Amazing fabric. Actually gets cold. You're like, get this thing off me. It's too clammy. So good to go. Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm going to exit this thing. Right.
Thank you so much for having a chat with me.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, this is Greg Larkin, one of the co-hosts of the Mile 99 Interview Podcast. Just want to take a minute here to give a shout out to Krista Cavender. We just worked with her. She's a graphic design artist and she redid our logo for us. We're really excited about it. We've put it out on all of our social media here as of late January, and we highly recommend her services. If you're looking for graphic design work, logo design for your business, something like that, please give her a shout. Her Instagram is Krista with a K, Cavender, and you can also find her online at kcavenderdesign.com. Highly recommended. She does great work, really clean, beautiful graphics. I think you'll be really pleased. I know we were. So, as always, take care and we'll see you on the trails.
We do have a couple more shout outs that I missed. I'm so sorry. I don't know everyone, but Lori wanted to mention that Michael Frank is running, who's a teacher at Cooley Middle School. Sherry Todd Yerkes is running. Don't know him. You're going to do great. We can't wait to see you cross that finish line. And then Jack Myers, shout out to Sarah Keys, a friend from upstate New York. And more than likely, she might be a top 10 female.
Okay, so we're in upstate New York.
I don't know that.
See, I was born in upstate New York. I need to know these things. I have that kind of connection thing that I really like when I hear stuff like that. Okay. Well, yeah. What else do you have, Mike?
I think my first, I got into ultra running through a couple local ultra runners, Mike Tooker and MJ.
Oh, right.
And when I first started running, I was just so lucky to run with those two, you know, veteran runners, and they had done Western States, both of them. And I was able to pace MJ some years ago from Michigan up to Forest Hill. And it was a short section, but it was still just an amazing time, you know, just to be on the course, any aspect of, you know, volunteering or pacing or being there. It's such a magical time. Everyone's
so nice. How was MJ? Well, we all know her as MJ, Melissa Johnson, but MJ around here. How was she from Michigan Bluff to Forest Hill? Any issues?
No issues. Not to talk about here.
All right.
No, she was great. And she got a PR. She got a PR that year. Her Western States PR.
Oh, yeah.
So beat her previous record. Awesome. Many hours. So she did great that year. Yeah, it was awesome.
And nice. She's a single mama of twins. So she did awesome.
I think Jennifer Heeman faced her from Forest Hill on or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. Pretty cool.
Wow. And so let's just talk a quick one about the lottery. The lottery will happen this December.
Yes.
And that will be for 2022. You're already in it, if I'm not mistaken, multiple times.
Maybe,
right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know, I ran some races, whatever.
Yeah.
I've got some work to do. I signed up for Lake Sonoma 100K. I'm hoping I can get myself in shape for that and get a qualifier and get back in the lottery.
I have Waldo 100K. You know, the boys are very adamant that I can do it. But, you know, life happens when you have four kids and I'm working and all these things. So we will see if I show up to the start line ready to go. If not,
RDL.
Maybe. Maybe. I think I have my kids that weekend, so I won't be able to do that.
You know, I know how to babysit.
He has the sprinter van. I mean,
right? You know, I've got screens. Like, you put them in front of a screen, right? That's how you do,
my
right?
My kids like dirt.
Oh, well, so, okay.
But it does have a shower.
That's true. So, yeah. Well, it has an outside shower.
Yeah.
You know, so that's good.
This year we have some new changes. We've had Western States crew on the show. There's some changes. So I think having those new rules of having to take some years off will be very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, because it takes so long to get in, except for some people.
I know. Everyone we've talked to is like, no, not really.
Yeah, what is this? This is like a total one ticket the whole time, right?
It's hard to run for 7 years.
Yeah.
Consistently. Life happens. You know, you have kids and you're married, divorced, whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard to run for that many years. It's nice. The changes are great that they've done, I think.
Yeah.
Because I can put a pause on mine and still pick back up. Or I could not. I could just go and finish that race, huh? But
Yeah, I mean, definitely want to give a shout out to Craig Thornley, the race director. He's joined us multiple times. He was our first guest back last year in May. Mm-hmm. And then came back with a lot of the people from the Western States organization multiple times, giving us updates, Dr. Pasternak, the medical director, board members, and really just connecting with the community here. And that's been so great for us and them, I hope. We've really enjoyed their participation.
You know, Greg, you were here. So last night you said you met up with some folks and you recorded some audio, but what were people talking about last night? And you met with that. Mike Trueblood gave you some commentary. Who else was out there?
Yeah.
I
talked to Mike Trueblood. He's one of our good friends. We trained with him a lot. He and I are both suffering a little bit from some foot injuries, but we're getting back out there. We hope to see him again. He really talked about just kind of like the iconic nature of this race and just the community behind it, the energy, the electricity around it, and what it means to him. I won't spoil his little, some of what other stuff he said, because I think we'll mix it in. But he was really about just kind of the pageantry of this thing. So that was his take on it. And then I talked to Adam Peterson, another good friend of ours, lives in Auburn. He's been at Dusty Corners for a number of years as well. And he was really coming at it from the volunteering perspective. You know, what is it like to volunteer for this race? And what do you see in kind of the everything, the highs and lows, all the runners coming in from that aid station perspective. And then I think I mentioned I talked to a runner coming in first time in the Western States race. I will have to check. I think he got pulled on one ticket. I have no joke.
Wait, this guy from?
From Switzerland.
Yeah, he did.
He got one ticket. Bob Crowley, another good friend of ours, introduced me to him. And he was just really kind of visualizing what it would be like to race on the historic Western States Trail coming from a European perspective. And that was really interesting as well. Brian Tortis, another friend of ours from Auburn, he was really inspired by just, you know, the men and women crossing the line, you know, from the elite runners all the way to the golden hour. And that really meant a lot to him as he became a runner and started learning about the sport. So lots of perspectives, really cool stuff.
Awesome. I have one more shout out that people are squeezing in. Sean, who we mentioned earlier, his awesome story. He gave a shout out to Steve Roberry.
Oh, yeah, Steve.
Bib 178. Do we know him?
I know Steve. Yeah. I met him.
All right.
I think I met him after TRT several years ago. I was on the TRT the next weekend hiking and I met him up there on a mountain peak somewhere and we started chatting and he's been a part of the Donner Party Mountain Runners team for a lot of years. He runs in the Bay Area a lot too.
Awesome.
So, and then one year I saw him at Canyons. Oh, one year at Canyons, he had both feet.
Hey, we're boosting him up.
he had some boosters like you had never seen. Oh man, but he's gonna do great.
He's strong.
Well, he's already gone through that.
Also,
right?
He has a funny story because he runs fast and he'll take like a 20-minute break at each aid station. He runs super fast and gets there and is relaxes and has wine and cheese and gets back and he runs really fast again. So he has a, I'm gonna see what his strategy is.
I haven't heard of the wine and cheese aid station stop yet. That's a new one on me.
Camille, you'll see her at Dusty Corner. She might have a beer there.
That's right. So Camille, another guest of ours last year. Yeah.
Yeah, Camille will be there.
Wow.
She's not local, but she's a
friend
of the
show
pod.
For
yeah,
sure.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah.
She'll be there. You'll see her at Dusty Corner's her crew anyways. And I always go, what beer? So find out, report back. Let me know.
I will definitely do that.
I think she does lighter beers up and then gets a little bit heavier.
Yeah, so maybe won't be hitting the stouts and the porters that
not
early
yet.
In the race.
Yeah.
Maybe save that for the later part.
Yeah.
Very cool. Are we done? All right, we might be done. Okay,
wrapping
well, how do we wrap this up again?
What we say is that we are on Patreon. Yes, we
never
are.
Forget.
We are on Patreon. $1 a month. It helps us out so much. We're going to be adding some more things on our Patreon, so you guys add and you get updates sooner, maybe some merch coming your way, who knows. I'm so happy to be having a live show. We've never recorded together. We're always at our own homes. Yes, we did some trips together, we run together, but it's so interesting and fun to be at this place and to be with each other.
And we have some great shows coming up. A lot of good, who's coming up? We got some.
Oh, I can tell you. We have Tim Stoller with Inside Trails. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on. Julie Fingar is going to be coming on. EJ is coming on in August. He's running Western States, so we'll get to hear his story in August. So stay tuned. And if you guys ever have anyone that you want us to interview, send us a message and we'll reach out to them, see if we can get them on the show. Because that's what it's about. It's about community.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, everybody. This has been another interesting episode of the Mile 99. It's been definitely interesting for me, for sure, of the Mile 99 Interview Podcast. We really appreciate everybody tuning in, and we hope to see you all out on the course somewhere, either as a racer, a volunteer, a crew member, or whatever. I'm sure there's going to be some just amazing stories this weekend, and we really look forward to it. Kelly, 100% good luck. Looking forward to seeing you out there. And have a great next couple of days. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you on the Western States Trail.
Nice. That was a good one.
Bye-bye.
See ya.